שלום, אנחנו קוראים בספר כתבי רבש, כרך א', בעמוד 249, מאמר בו...
We are reading from the Rabash Social Writings, page 124, article Command to Pharaoh 2, beginning with However When a Person Begins. Page 124 in Rabash Social Writings. You can ask questions at kab.tv and selected questions will be aired live. However, when a person begins to examine if he is truly satisfied with his life and how much contentment he is really deriving from himself and from his environment, then he sees that the opposite, that everyone is suffering in torment, and each person suffers differently. But one should say, blessed is he who said, let there be the world. So he sees that he is only saying it superficially. However, it is known that the delight and pleasure cannot appear in the world before the world has kelim, vessels of bestowal, since our vessels of reception are still contaminated by self-reception, which is heavily restricted in its measure and separates us from the Creator. Meaning, that there was the first restriction, Tzimtzum Aleph, on the vessels of reception, so the abundance would not shine there. Obtaining the vessels of bestowal is where disputes and wars begin, since it is against our nature. And this is why we were given Torah and Mitzvot to achieve the degree of bestowal. As our sages said, I have created the evil inclination, I have created the spice of Torah. Also, we were given the mitzvah of love thy friend as thyself. And Rabbi Akiva said, this is the great rule of the Torah. In other words, by working in love of friends, a person accustoms himself to exit self-love and achieve love of others. However, we should understand what we see before us, that there are people who exert in love of friends and still do not come an inch closer to love of the Creator so that they can work in Torah and Mitzvot due to the love of the Creator. This means that they say they are in fact advancing a little in love of friends, but they see no progress in love of the Creator. However, we should know that in love of friends too, there are degrees, meaning we must contemplate the obligation to love of friends. We can compare it to a two-story building with a ground floor as well, and the king is on the second floor, and one who wishes to come to the king, meaning his only goal is to converse with the king face to face, is told that he must first climb to the first floor. Since it is impossible to climb to the second floor without first climbing to the first floor. Certainly, everyone understands that this is so. However, there is a reason why they must first climb to the first floor. It is called corrections. In other words, by climbing to the first floor, one can learn how to address the king face to face and will be able to ask the king for his wish. That person who hears that he must first climb to the first floor and subsequently to the second floor understands it very well. But since his only wish is to see the king's face and he cares for nothing else, this makes what he is told, that he must climb to the first floor, a burden and a toil for him. However, he has no choice, so he climbs to the first floor. He's not interested in seeing what is there, although he heard that the first floor is where one learns how to speak with the king. But he pays no attention to that, for this is not his goal. His goal is the king, not what he can learn on the first floor. His goal is not the study, but to see the king's face. Why should he waste time on trifles, since everything is not compared to the king? Thus, why should he take interest in what is taught on the first floor? Hence, when he climbs to the first floor, he has no desire to stay there. Instead, he wishes to quickly climb to the second, to the king himself, for this is all he wants. However, he is told, without knowing the rules that abide on the first floor, you will certainly blemish the king's honor. For this reason, you cannot hope to be able to climb to the second floor before you learn all that there is to learn on the first floor. Similarly, with love of friends. We heard that it was impossible to be rewarded with love of the Creator before one was rewarded with love of friends. As Rabbi Akiva said, love thy friend as thyself is the great rule of the Torah. Therefore, while engaging in love of friends, he is not considering love of friends as being valuable, but as redundant. He keeps it because he has no choice. But he is constantly looking for the time when, as written, when I will be rewarded with the love of the Creator, and I will be able to rid myself of the love of friends, since this work is burdensome for me, since I can hardly stand my friends, for I see that they all have different traits than mine, and I have nothing in common with them. But I have no choice, since I was told that without love of friends, I won't be able to achieve love of the Creator. So, against my will, I sit with them. However, I can ask myself, what am I gaining from the friends? Only one thing. I am correcting myself through self-mortification, self-torment, by sitting with them and tolerating their talks, which I dislike and which are against my nature. But what can I do? I am told that I must suffer in this world. So I do. I sit and wait for the time when I can run from them and avoid seeing the lowness that I see in them. It turns out that he is not taking from the love of friends the remedy called love of others, but only because he was told that he has no choice, for otherwise he will not achieve love of the Creator. This is the reason why he engages in love of friends and keeps all the obligations to which the friends commit him. But what he should learn from them is miles away from him. This means that he is not exiting self-love, and he is not reaching love of others. He is observing the love of friends not out of love, but out of fear. He is not allowed into love of the Creator before he enters the love of friends. As a result, he fears not observing love of friends, because he will not be allowed into love of the Creator. This is similar to the allegory about not being allowed onto the second floor where the king sits until he climbs to the first floor. The idea is that he will learn the rules of how to keep the king's honor. So it would seem reasonable that he would be happy to go onto the first floor, since now he's learning how to be watchful of the king's honor. It would benefit him, because afterwards, when he enters the king's palace, he will not blemish the king's honor. And therefore, while he is on the first floor, he pays attention to all the rules that apply there, and to becoming accustomed to them, since he wants to come into the king to bestow upon the king, and not at all to be contemptuous of the king's honor. This relates only to one who wishes to become before the king to give contentment to him. But one who wishes to come in before the king for self-reception considers what is found on the first floor as redundant. It is of no interest to him. He goes up to the first floor only because he is afraid, since he knows that he will not be allowed to climb to the second floor before he climbs to the first floor. But he feels no need to study the laws that are taught there, how to avoid blemishing the king's honor, since the only reason he wants to come before the king is for purposes of self-love. Therefore, we should know that we were given love of friends to learn how to avoid blemishing the king's honor. In other words, if he has no other desire except to give contentment to the king, he will certainly blemish the king's honor, which is called passing on kedusha, holiness, to the external ones. For this reason, we mustn't underestimate the importance of the love of the work in love of friends, for by that he will learn how to exit self-love and enter the path of love of others. And when he completes the work of love of friends, he will be able to be rewarded with love of the Creator. We should know that there is a virtue to love of friends. One cannot deceive himself and say that he loves the friends, if in fact he doesn't love them. Here he can examine himself, whether he truly has love of friends or not. But with love of the Creator, one cannot examine oneself as to whether his intention is the love of the Creator, meaning that he wants to bestow upon the Creator, or his desire is to receive in order to receive.
Maybe you'll ask questions. I don't know what is there to add so much. Rabash explains it very clearly. There are different societies that talk about love, about the connection between them. That the relation between a person and a society, and one's relation, and the relation of a person and his society to the Creator, decides the way the society looks, or this movement, or party, or religion, or a certain current. And it is very versatile. We, to begin with, divide the whole of humanity into two parts. The first is those who have an urge, a deficiency to attain the Creator, and it doesn't allow them to rest, that they search exactly for that in their lives, the higher force, the reason for their life, the meaning of life, who do I delight, or they must find the source of everything, the source of everything that is called existence. And this is the first condition that these are that's the first kind of people that come to our society. It's not that we check them by a certain and through a certain device, but a person who doesn't really have this point, this desire to find the Creator, even if he doesn't really know what that is, but just this having this inclination, this tendency, this inner hunger, doesn't belong to it. and will eventually leave the society. And it might happen after 10 or 15 and even 20 years. And of course that these years of scrutiny weren't just erased from his life, whether he did a certain work during that time, and it belongs to the connection of his soul, to the correction of his soul. But the people who stay are those who truly have the spark that has to bring them to the revelation of the upper force, which they want, which is the primary reason for their dwelling in the group. And they agree to those who are found here in the group. It happens gradually, of course, because all the means to attain the Creator are against their desires, against their attributes, against their education. They're all anti-egoistic, the means to attain the Creator. And this is why it takes a lot of time until a person tries and eventually reaches the understanding, the feeling that the first degree of attainment of the Creator is the Creator is firstly attained in the Kli, in the vessel, in the connection, in the necessity to be interconnected with the whole of reality. The whole of reality, which is the still, the vegetative, the animate, and the speaking, which eventually concentrates on the speaking, and on the connection between his friends especially, in the group. This is where his freedom of choice is, to strengthen or not, to connect to them or not. This is where he builds the place for the revelation of the Creator. And this is the only way it works. From his stature, from the first floor, he's able to rise to the first floor, to the connection with the friends. And when he corrects the connection with the friends, he's able to climb to the second floor, which is the revelation of the Creator, the fulfillment that is revealed as the dweller within their kli, that is called Shechina, divinity. And this is how he reaches the goal towards which he had an urge to begin with, only that he didn't really know what he was yearning for and how to realize it. And this whole long path that he underwent was only in order to attain what he felt unconsciously, as subconsciously, as the source, as the lack of his life.
This whole part that we read, and also now in your explanation, I'm lacking a certain discernment here, because he actually says he wants to reach the Creator, and then he realizes that he has to work in love of friends.
But he doesn't know who the Creator is, so he wants to reach the Creator, so he wants to know what my life are dependent upon. Actually, the desire, the Creator is revealed out of a great ego, a person who is pre-ripe from within, who cares about his life, who doesn't belong to the still vegetative or animate of within the speaking degree, rather the speaking within the speaking degree, meaning he has already passed through the development of money and pride and honor and knowledge, and he was able to reach this decision that it is not what he's looking for, and he has the desire to attain the emanator. The desire to attain the emanator is actually what's typical to the people who are here, but he doesn't know what the emanator is. He has a tendency towards him, but it's still shapeless. Why do I need this for? I just want it. I want to know about it. I want to know him. Otherwise, I have no reason to live. What for and why and how and nothing. Without it, I'm empty. But he doesn't know. He doesn't really know what he wants. Yes.
On the one hand, in the beginning, he cannot know what he wants. On the other hand, he writes here that if he won't work correctly, he won't exit self-love, and he cannot work correctly to begin with.
Our development is like we've received the point in the heart. No one asked us whether we want to receive the point in the heart. The same thing is written about the group, that we have the group with all the conditions, and after we start to somehow incorporate there, we start to... the situation of choice is starting to be clarified to us. These are all the phases that in all the phases a person undergoes, he undergoes them because he is being directed. Because all the souls that are already corrected in the general system of this one soul, and the light that works through the vessels, it all constructs the conditions for a person to advance, and a person advances. Out of the infinite amount of actions and powers that are being activated upon him, he is left with a very small action to do, to perform on his behalf. In the beginning, he does most of these actions after being directed, and later, gradually, he starts to feel in these actions some doubts regarding these actions. Do this or that. He's being led like we're explaining a child. This is this and that is that, but you should do this. And then a more grown-up person receives more possibilities, more opportunities to decide, look what happens if you do this, look what happens if you do that. Everything is directed, only until he's brought to a state in which he's able to take the reins into his hands, and also eventually, actually until the end of correction, he's not being released from the higher providence and governance. Only that the only difference is the percents to which he's capable of taking upon himself the actions in the knowledge of from before and behind you surround me by uniting with the higher providence.
Along the whole passage, Rabash writes here about somebody who has the wrong attitude, the wrong approach, and I'm trying to understand what is the mistake, the exact mistake that he has in his attitude, in his approach.
The mistake in his approach is very simple, that we have a distancing, a detachment between the group, humanity, reality, and the Creator. That we don't really understand that we have to work not with respect, not towards the Creator, but towards organizing reality, organizing the Kli. As it is written, I wish you shall leave me and keep my Torah. And the whole Torah is love thy friends thyself, is the love of others. The Torah speaks about the love of the Creator as the last commandment. That after all the actions you do, you eventually reach the Creator. But to begin with, you intend to reaching this in every action you make, but you don't attain it. You just tend towards it. So the gap between in the beginning I scrutinize during a long period of time what kind of relation do I have towards the Creator until I start to hear that the Creator is the force of bestowal and love. I start to hear means that I have an inner response to it, that it's truly the way it is, that the whole world and the whole of reality and the whole of humanity, everyone are fed from this precise force. Later, I start to understand that in order to attain this force, truly attain this force, seriously, not just verbally, like the whole world talks about it, but whether to truly attain it, I can do it in a critical way, where I'm found in scrutinies, realistic scrutinies. I can do it only through a place called the group, a special society. And if I, if I'm in this special group, and if I'm directed to attain the Creator through this group, that in this group I can scrutinize everything. I can scrutinize everything that relates to myself, and I can correct myself to be as one man and one heart with this group, so the Creator will be revealed in a connection between us. Because when we're united, He is also revealed as one within this connection. So then it is the status called from the love of the created beings to the love of the Creator, and all those sentences we have to take upon ourselves. And then the society starts to be as important as the Creator. Actually, as one. They become as one. And later I begin to understand that there's no Creator. Rather, the relations between us, which we scrutinize, and we eventually reach reciprocity and the connection between us, these actions that we per se, the connection we build between us, what is revealed as the connection between us, as the relations between us, that's called the Creator. Meaning, always when we come to a special connection between us, we have a new Creator, a different Creator, a greater Creator, a higher, more Creator. The light is revealed in a greater, ever-increasing intensity. And I have to be always directed this way, Israel, the Torah, and the Creator, as one. I, within the group, reveal the connection, unity, as one man and one heart, love their friends, they self, and so, all these conditions of the Arvut, our mutual guarantee, in order to reveal this attribute that unites, connects, fills us, and which is called the stolen love, or the Creator. And we have everything we need in order to do it. We have all the conditions we need. We have all the tools we need. We lack nothing besides working and exerting more in that direction to do it, whatever you can, whatever is in your powers and ability to do, in order to scrutinize out of that connection, out of the Kli, the light. First, light that forms, which connects the Kli, and then the light that fills the Kli. You need to, you need to work on it more and more and more, like with dough, and until we eventually reach a sensation. Intellectually, it sometimes comes, sometimes it disappears, but it has to be felt within us. And the examination is to the extent that I truly. In the first stage, I start to feel an importance in the connection between us. Then I start to be excited from it, until tears, that it's good if we connect, and we connect if we start to reveal one another. And then starts the connection, the phase where we start to reveal hate. That it's still before us, still ahead of us. After a period where the connection is important, and I feel the warmth and the necessity and the connection, and that is so clear that it's what we should attain, against it, we start to reveal hate and repulsion, something that stems from within, and you cannot control it. You can't control it. It's Pharaoh. It's really felt as if it is, but you already have this point of critique from one end to another, from the end of the Creator to Pharaoh's end. You already start to have this reciprocal scrutiny. But when hate is revealed, let's hope we'll reach this state soon. But it comes after you feel this, after you undergo this phase of warmth and sweetness and goodness and the connection. Yes.
Why does Rabash say that a person cannot deceive himself in love of friends? Actually, it seems to me that it's very easy for one to deceive himself regarding love of friends. In a group, if you have a true connection according to your degree, and you are talking about and scrutinizing and criticizing what is taking place, whatever is happening between you, and you want to delve into the scrutiny of the articles more and more, then you begin to see that in a group you can actually scrutinize everything. And whatever you don't scrutinize, the others scrutinize over themselves or over you. And you can see how much you can actually transcend your ego and be objective and observe yourself from the side as some creature in the laboratory, or maybe not. How much everybody surrender, subjugate themselves, and I can trample their honor. What is the problem, really?
No, I love everyone. I feel great in being everyone's friend. I really love you.
What's in it for you? What do you gain out of it?
It's fun. What kind of gain I have in life in general? It's fun. Pleasant for my ego that I have friends who love me. Usually people hate each other.
And if now we'll pour on you a little bit of trash, let's say, the garbage that we actually see in you, will you still love us?
Again, but it's a process. It's not that I can't deceive myself in the love of friends. If I study properly and the light forms influences and I invest myself in the group, and after years and years, I might eventually come to a state in which I cannot deceive myself. But all in all, it is something that's very easy to do. It's very easy to deceive yourself in the love of friends. Yes, I love you, I love the goal and everything.
That's because one doesn't, you know, you still don't know what you're talking about. I mean, keep going and we'll see. Let's continue and we'll see. I wish we come to a state like the students of Rabbi Shimon. You are in a process, you're developing, but there's still something ahead of you. I now said, talked about several crude phases, in general, with a large, crude resolution. After you discover, like Rabash tells us, that from the importance of attaining the Creator, you reach the necessity to take part in a group. And in your participation in the group, you reach a state where it's really good for you, as you say, and you're willing to invest there. And while investing there, sometimes you forget why you're investing. You just feel good in the group. Do you want to discover the Creator? No, you just feel good in the group. You know, you have a good life here. You reach the state where everything is fine, it's good. Like I remember that Hillel, my teacher, the first one, would be making fun of it and say, of course people come to us to study and all kinds of people sit here. You come, here there's coffee and tea here, even with milk and sugar. He was from the days where even hot water was, a luxury. Even without milk and sugar and coffee, people would just be drinking hot water, and it was already considered like coffee. You see, so he would say, of course they would come here. Meaning, it's good for you, you know, to be here in the group. So you come. The indication is whether, let's say, each time you come here, you'll have to receive a few, you know, some beatings at the door. Baal HaSulam demanded a high payment. Rabash demanded of me to come from Rehovot every morning. You know, something that, you need to pay. And then we will see.
Good.
Yes.
Yerganat from London is asking a few questions.
So Yerganat is in London already?
Yes, London. So he's asking, you spoke previously the fact that a person who has no point in the heart can spend years and eventually exit the group.
No, but it's not to spend or to enjoy several years there. It's actually these are the years that are left that are actually registered on his account. It goes towards developing his soul. Otherwise, if one is only engaging in his business, then it still remains before him. Of course, everything is registered. Everything takes place in the collective will to receive. How much does it suffer? Does he suffer? Even if he exerts and suffers at the corporeal level, it's still registered. Nothing gets lost because everything takes place within the general collective desire. But in those desires, one gains no ascent. It is simply an action that accumulates until the spark pops, awakens in him, and he starts scrutinizing. A person who comes and has a spark, or even if he doesn't have a spark, but he's incorporated in our society, he's nonetheless advancing, just like we say that the 99% will advance. Let's say that we have such people among us. But they are advancing towards the correction of their soul. However, here we are playing the role of the Rosh, and they are the goof. But they are already incorporated in us. So if several millions would come and join the morning lesson, let's say, and they will be with us in all kinds of actions, and they will be reading articles with us, even though they'll be understanding them in all kinds of forms of their own, not internally, emotionally, with an inner response, but as much as they can. I won't be against it. Then it will be some sort of a complex, a whole that has Israel and the nations of the world, the 1% and the 99%. Say, everybody from Petah Tikva, people come here.
Chazi from Be'er Sheva, saying you said you have to pay the group. How can he pay the group? He's asking.
In anything that one does for the friends in order to raise their spirit, and mostly it's about confidence and happiness about the important goal, that is called paying. Paying means to add to a person strength towards whatever he wants to achieve.
Yerganat has another question. He's asking, how can one force oneself to love the friends besides because it is the condition that will bring me to the love of the Creator?
Initially, a person connects with the others out of lack of choice, because of all kinds of reasons and urges, like shame, not to participate, or they'll throw me out, what can I do? In short, coercively. Later, he becomes accustomed on the one hand, and that is a problem, that it becomes a habit. And also, even his household, people in his family see whether, are looking at whether he's participating or not. He has to keep himself as though he has the understanding of the importance of the means also. But later on, as a result of all of those things, the light that reforms comes and gives him a certain grace in the connection, in the actions that we perform together. What is this grace? Chen. The light begins to shine, to be more clarified, more felt. And then he begins to feel that it's good for me, it's worthwhile for me, I want it. When I think about them, I feel warm, I have greater confidence, greater connection. Something shines towards me. And that attracts him until he begins to tie that to the Creator. Both this and that, he begins to see that what he's doing in the group in some manner has to do with attaining the force of nature, which is called God or the Creator. It is the same force of bestowal, force of love, force of connection, it's the same. Then he begins to attach the two things together, that Israel, the light, and the Creator are one, truly one. It begins to appear to him this way. And when he begins to put all of this together as one, then hatred comes. And also, again, he begins to accumulate in practice as he feels the will to receive, the ego that is working against connection in a group and against the Creator. And then he has already, well, he reaches the two lines. This is already the active lolishma. These are advanced stages. We have to realize that all the difficulty on our path is this phase of preparation. All the rest is like nothing. Then you are in all kinds of scrutinies, you're advancing, you're already, well, you're working in practice. Look at what is happening in our lives. It takes 30 years for a person to be ready to work in his profession, to act in society, in all kinds of things. Earlier, people used to get married at the age of 13. And that's it. One would raise a family and start going. Today, it takes more than twice until one does everything and he serves in the army and he goes to school to study at university or take courses. He becomes a little bit of an expert in something and he begins his life. He's almost 30 years old. This is called preparation. And how much is left for him? Another 20 years maximum. Not even that. At the age of 40, 45, he begins to 30 years of preparation and 15 years of active life, and after that one begins to go down, wither. That's how it is according to nature, you see. But this is just a projection. Everything we have in our lives in this world is a projection from spirituality. It is because the preparation in spirituality is the most important thing, the most important. When you enter a system, even though you are called righteous according to your actions, according to your preparations, however, you actually bring contentment to the Creator now, like a baby compared to an older child. Yes, one moment, I promised the American.
Shalom Rav. It's very hard to understand from this article and what you're speaking about. It really sounds like the Creator bases everything on suffering. Prior to the Kabbalah, you have to suffer until the point in the heart awakens. You come to the
לפני שיש לך נקודה שבלב, אתה סובל עד שהנקודה הזאת מתעוררת.
You come to the Kabbalah, and whoever, I mean, Rabash says himself, you suffer with the study or different reasons. Whoever can make it through the suffering stays and is awarded with feeling the Creator.
אתה, אחר כך הרבש כותב, אתה סובל תוך כדי הלימוד, ומי שככה מחזיק את הסבל, אז בסופו של דבר הוא מקבל ככה את הפרס.
אני הולך לעבודה.
I go to work. Don't I suffer? In the work, 10 hours, maybe even more, until you get there, until you leave. Don't I suffer? I see in my neighborhood, which is, you know, a nice, fancy neighborhood, a young guy, nicely dressed, lives in the morning. He must be working in high-tech, or he's a manager or something. He has a nicely ironed shirt, and everything is good. He goes down with his child in his arms and with a cup of coffee. He takes the elevator down. He enters his car. He drives the kid to the kindergarten, and he himself goes to work. I see these at 6:30 a.m., sometimes even 6 a.m., 6, 7 a.m., maybe 7:30 a.m., depending on the places, so that we won't have, you know, traffic jams. They arrange it in a certain way. When do they come back from work? I see that sometimes it's 9 or even 10 p.m. From 6 a.m. until 10 p.m., how many hours is that? 14 hours, right? 16 hours. 16 hours, a person... Yeah, 16 hours. A person is not at home. 16 hours. He needs to sleep 7, 8 hours? Yeah? To eat, to wash himself. What is left out of life for him? Isn't it a suffering that he has to invest so much? What does he enjoy? That they take them twice a year to a week of holiday in some place that is, you know, paid for by the workplace? All in all, what is he enjoying? That he was given a car from work so that he can drive to work? Tell me, isn't that suffering? However, because this is common practice, this is how everybody is used to, he even takes pride in that, how much he's successful. I look at him, you know, poor guy. At 6 a.m. he already has to say goodbye to his life until 10 p.m. Well, and also when he comes back with his head full of stuff from work, and I think that he's tranquil. So isn't that payment for this life in which there is nothing? What does he do in his life? What does he play with? A few actions so that he'll suffer less. You know, have children so that they'll go through the same life like him, or maybe even worse off. And he cares for them, he cares for them, and he cares for them. Until he stops being concerned about them, he has to start being concerned about himself, you know, being in an elderly home, and then he dies. That's not suffering. Please tell me, what's this whole idea about?
No. Well? This is exactly what I'm saying. I mean...
No, you're talking about our lives, not the normal civil lives in an ordinary human society. We don't suffer. I don't suffer. I know that I'm correcting my soul. There, I pay some landlord at work. I work, I don't even know what for. I live because I cannot die. I'm afraid to. And also, you see how many people nowadays in the world commit suicide, you know, when they actually do their, you know, their soul search, they take an account of things, they do the right calculation in our lives. It actually doesn't pay to be alive. What are we paying, you know, for through our suffering? Here, you don't pay for your suffering. You're suffering while you're correcting your soul, because the suffering that you feel is the feeling of its of the disease of the soul, the illness. It shows you where you need to correct it. And therefore, it is a suffering of the illness, the place of the corruption. You have to, like Bala Sulam writes, I'm happy about the wicked that are being revealed, because then I know where to correct. It all depends on how you are looking, what's your attitude towards the suffering. Ah, finally, I know what to correct. How many people are paying just to get the right diagnosis? When I go to an expert, some special person, he has all kinds of special instrumentation, and he's an expert, and he tells me exactly what it is that I'm suffering from. The fact that I suffer, I know that. Sometimes I don't know it, it's even worse. And here, they tell me the reason. So, already, you know, they say that 90%, in our case, 100% of the correction is that. Because if you know exactly the evil in you and why it's happening to you, it immediately brings you to the remedy.
In our world, you can reach the right diagnosis, and who knows if there is a remedy or not, if it's the right cure or not, who's going to give it to you, or it's a whole mess, many problems. But in spirituality, establishing, reaching the right diagnosis is exactly, it's the same serpent that appears as a serpent. Immediately you discover it, you invert it into the remedy. The angel of death becomes the holy angel. It's like in the weekly portion. The red cow defiles the holy ones, and it also purifies the pure ones. Truly so. Because we later learn how Malchut goes up to Bina and comes down again. That's the whole issue of either Malchut being in Bina or Bina in Malchut. Meaning the moment that you discover suffering, you need to discover within it the remedy that is there. This is called, I've created the evil inclination, in which you discover it, and then the Torah, the spice, is there. It's the same light that influences the serpent becomes the holy angel. Life, the tree of knowledge, which is good and bad, becomes the tree of life. Therefore, for us, suffering is only an indication. I want to reach it. I want to reach that sensation of suffering, because for me it is the trigger, the springboard towards the spiritual degree. All right or not? Go ahead, ask again, and we'll finish that.
The Rabash is talking about torments in the article.
Inuim?
Torments. This is actually what is written about. It is a fool sits idly eating his own flesh. If you have a strong environment and you're not ashamed to fall and be integrated into it, and it responds to you, there is a great luck, a great fortune. And then you don't suffer. You immediately discover correspondingly the means. Yes.
Eating my own flesh, it means I blame myself for something. Is that eating my own flesh?
Eating your own flesh means that you cannot decide clearly where does the pain come to you from, what for, from whom, for what purpose, that there is none else besides him, he's the first and he's the last, and you ascribe this pain to yourself as if you brought it about, as if maybe it's your fault, and therefore you are eating yourself, eating your flesh. If you'll tie all of those things with the Creator, with the process, and not just with blind faith, then you'll stop eating your own flesh, and immediately you'll invert the bad feeling into a means towards an ascent, towards connecting with the Creator, because He causes that to you so that you will connect with Him.
Last question. Can you explain how to practically do that? It sounds very nice, but I really don't know how to do that.
שאלה אחרונה, האם אתה יכול להסביר איך באופן פרקטי לעשות את זה? כי זה נשמע מאוד יפה, אבל אני לא יודע איך לעשות את זה.
צריכים לארגן יותר טוב.
You need to organize the environment better.
יותר טוב לארגן סביבה.
To organize the environment better.
ולהשתדל.
And to try.
ללמד.
To teach.
להשתדל ללמד.
Try to teach.
כמו שכתוב.
As written, I've learned a lot from my teachers, more from my friends, and even more from my students. I learned doesn't mean that you hear something and you learn it, or maybe they ask questions and they help you scrutinize as well. Externally, that's how it is. But no, you connect yourself
with the vessels that you have to bestow to. My teachers means the group that is greater than you. My friends, the group that is equal to you. My students, the group that is lower than you, that you have to fill them up. So at all of these degrees, you have to learn and try to bestow. And also externally, it is good to find a place where you teach either the wisdom of Kabbalah or integral education, and it doesn't matter, it's the same. Especially now where we're speaking more about the tense and the connection between us, connecting in a group, and how much through this connection we're going to reach the revelation of the Creator. When we with slightly different, using different words than the 99% or towards the 99%, but the inner content is the same. However, we know how to direct these things according to the sources, and they don't know anything. Rather, they are about to be directed through us. But the actions are the same actions. Only with them it's externally, and for us it's more internal. For us, it's by inviting, drawing the light at reforms, and in them, it's by the light at reforms would come from us towards them according to the degree of their equivalence with us. But it's really the same. So to bestow, to teach a group, the 99% towards about integral education, you'll then see how much it will help. We have to engage more in dissemination. You have plenty of, you know, Americans in Israel. Go and bestow.
What does it mean to address the Creator through the group of ten?
In the center of the ten, that is the place for His revelation. If you come together, if you connect, if you shrink together, you have to discover there your cumulative force, which is called arvut, mutuality, where all the individual desires disappear, and there you find the shared desire, which is called Shechina, divinity, and then the dweller is in it.
The address can be direct from the ten to the Creator, or only through the ten?
It cannot be personal. It has to be the prayer of the many.
So what does it mean that you must justify the Creator? You must see that it is none else besides Him everywhere. I'm doing this work, eventually. Don't I?
It's true that you are doing the work, but you have to do this work out of the center of the ten. Yes.
We have a few questions about the tens from the worldly. Can we?
We're going to take another half an hour now. I don't know. Well, go ahead and ask.
Okay, the first question. When the tens only started, not the whole group wanted to participate. So I arranged myself at 10 from the worldly, from different groups. We're mainly virtually connected. Now the group is also working, is trying to arrange itself to work in tens. The question is, what should I do to leave my current virtual 10 and swap to be involved in the local 10 or to belong to both 10s? And if we belong to both 10s and we meet after the morning lesson, who should I prioritize? To which 10? To the virtual or to the local?
First of all, the fact that people don't immediately agree to connect to the 10, you can understand that. That is not a flaw. If they would have told me in the beginning of the path that you have to come and connect and embrace and sing songs and all of that, I would be thinking, what is this, Hasidism? Is everybody here hypocritical? I don't want that. I came here to discover the Creator. It's about revelation, and each one depicts it to himself in all kinds of different ways. But certainly not that I'm hugging somebody. One who is used to that, that's something different. Or there are those, how shall I say this, there are those pure people that for them it means to dance together, sing together, sit on top of some hill in India. That is spirituality for them. So certainly being against the ten, against the connection, a person is that way to begin with. That's how it is. Now the question is, now, when we are speaking about the tense, we have to realize we are talking about the tense here after almost 20 years where the group, since the group was established. Dimitrov came to me in 1991. It's 22 years by now. And following him, several others. In 1991, there were several others that came from Bar-Ilan. There were several students from Bar-Ilan University, and later they went away. But what am I trying to say? Look, following how many years we started speaking about the ten, and we talked about it, and several times, 20 times we read every Baal Sulam article about it, right? And we talked about it several times, and we did all kinds of actions. When did we begin to do the tish? When did we start speaking more from heart to heart? Several months ago. It came gradually, bit by bit. So we have such friends everywhere in the world who have only been for five years. For them, it is still an obstacle. And a new person who just comes and is integrated with the wisdom of Kabbalah, he wants to discover Kabbalah, discover the Creator. He has an inner burn, an inner flame, an inner fire. He looks at us and he thinks that what we're doing is crazy. What is the relation, the connection between us connecting and, I don't know, doing a train together or all kinds of other such forms and the revelation of the Creator? What are you doing? What is this? Are you guys autistic? I mean, who's doing such things? He doesn't feel that this is something serious. He cannot feel it because it's not natural. The wisdom of Kabbalah, the wisdom of the hidden, something that talks about godliness, that talks about the huge systems of providence and governance, hidden forces that operate behind the scenes within people. And what's happening here? How can it be that this is connected to that? One cannot connect the two things. And also when you speak to him about love of others, about love of friends, he doesn't understand. What is the connection? Well, communists, socialists, even fascists talk about that. Everybody is talking about love, about connection. The difference is, you know, maybe that are they talking in general about the whole world? Or maybe they are talking about doing it within one nation. Only within one nation, then it's fascism. And if it's in general, in the whole of humanity, then it's already socialism or communism, etc. But one is close to the other, and everybody's talking about it. Nobody understands, neither when you talk about friends or love or connection, moreover the tens when one is compelled, is forced to be in it. If it's just like that, well, I come to the meal, I come, you know, sometimes actually I am with them a little bit. But when he's dancing, not because in that dance or in whatever he's doing, he wants to attain the Creator. There he simply rejoices with everybody else that we are in this special business, engaging in the hidden wisdom. So, of course, people are not ready for the ten. And therefore, there are thousands of manners of coming closer or going further away from this concept. Therefore, I don't decide on anything. There is no answer about what's good, what's not. There's no answer. One has to simply take an example from us and be patient. Maybe, hopefully, it won't throw him out, and he'll save himself another incarnation and keep going. And gradually, one has to tell himself that I have to bow my head down and wait until I understand what it is that they're doing. They're speaking, saying logical things, and suddenly they're doing all these childish things in my eyes. So I have to maybe understand something here. You know, we have to wait a little bit. That's what one has to tell himself. That's what I recommend. And all the rest, I have nothing to say. If I'll tell him, in his case, if I would know precisely, the virtual group, the virtual 10, the inner 10, it's this way, that way, then everybody will also copy this example. I can't do that. I can't. The fact that a physical group is more important than a virtual group, that's for sure, for certain. Whether one has to leave the virtual group? Why? Maybe you can be in this and that. That's not called betraying. In the end, we're all going to connect together. And in truth, when you are in the 10, soon we're going to feel, if you haven't started feeling already, that there is no difference. It makes no difference in what tenth I'm in. Doesn't make a difference. I don't see faces. I see the internal ideal, the passion for connection, the hunger for revelation. And this is the same in all the tens. And if it has different external manners, manifestations, that doesn't bother me. It doesn't bother me. There, I'm willing to be very flexible. To the contrary, it actually adds a certain additional vitality to it. Well, yeah, keep going.
Now, the question is, it is still unclear whether the tens have to be constructed out of friends who are more or less participating in the same way in our framework, or whether the framework should be diverse, meaning those who come every day, pay master, do dissemination, and so on. And if not, then what's the relation that we have to have one towards another on these levels?
It is desirable that physically they'll be pretty much more or less equal. That's true. But regarding the physical participation, and not that they should all be similar. But nonetheless, it testifies to the degree of their devotion, more or less. A person participates in the duties. Well, if he can't, if he has a certain justification, it is considered as though he is participating in the duty. But we have to be more or less equal, however, so that you won't end up with such tents that are truly composed only of junk, sorry for saying so, but meaning people who just come once a week or 2 weeks, or they only come once a week to the ten, and nothing other than that. We need to strengthen them, reinforce them. We have to implant in them strong, serious people. Meaning, we have to think about that as well and make it diversified. But soon we're going to start maybe mixing up the tens. As if incidentally. So that the composition, the tens would change. And it really doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. And also, when you get a certain grip on your ten, when you start being attached to it, etc., that's not good either. You have to feel that there's a place of work for you.
maybe you're becoming now too similar, too attached, and you start losing, missing the new discernments that should appear. Well, keep on going.
So what should be the relation of these compared to those?
I don't know what the relation or the ratio should be. I think that we should mix things up. I think we should mix them up. And by that, to elevate all those who are lagging behind, who are lazy, etc., raise them to your degree. I'm in favor of it being random. Completely. You know, leave it in the hands of heavens. Now, there are these computer programs that you can use according to the, you know, statistics, the theory of probability, that everybody studies that at university. You can rely on that. Next. I'm only answering his questions now. If you want something, write down the questions and give it to him later.
There's, by the way, a section of tens in Sviva Tova, where that's where we've collected the questions from. Now, you said that I have to be concerned about being influenced from the right environment. You gave an example that I have to be connected to friends who are found daily in the morning lessons, who come daily to morning lessons, who come to duties and so on. So what should I do if friends in my tent don't fulfill the conditions? What should I do now? To cast from them or what?
No, don't draw further away from them. I have to be with them and try to raise them to higher level of participation as much as possible. If I live 200 kilometers from everyone, I can't come every day, so I come one day a week. But on the other days, I'm connected with them, etc. Meaning, you have to take everyone's situation into account, and also whether he's a beginner or a veteran. Maybe, God forbid, he has certain problems at home, or relatively he can invest a greater effort and participation. You have to look at these things. More or less, what is the man's desire? And not the desire in his words that maybe, you know, hot. There are people like that, rather in practice. And also maybe he has some evil inclination and repulsion from others that according to his character he's measuring, and it's really hard for him to accept that. So give him the possibility to gradually accustom himself, awaken envy in him on purpose. We're advancing, we are already feeling things, we are this and that way. When you say a few words like that, he starts really getting hot, and the fire of envy consumes him, and that actually pushes him forward. You have to use all kinds of diversified approaches in mutual bestowal.
The person is asking for support for a fellow of the group. Should he ask it from his ten or from the whole group? And if there's a ten that doesn't function, whom does it address?
I don't know. Maybe actually through the request that will wake up his ten. Maybe that way. But start with the ten.
Does a friend who doesn't want to take part in the 10 can carry out a central role in the management and the group?
He's not in the 10?
No, he's not in the 10.
How can it be?
Let's say he doesn't want to. He says, I don't want to be in the 10. And he has a role. Let's say he's in charge of manpower, or he's in charge in the management. He's in charge of dissemination in the group.
I don't think so, because those roles are also ideological roles, and if one doesn't advance with everyone, if he's not connected, if he's not committed, I don't think that, I can't even imagine how can there be a person where we're all working in the tents and he's not there. I don't know, do we have such people?
That's a question from the groups. Let's say the guy who's in charge of finance in the group, the budget. Can he be in his role if he's not a part of the 10?
Everybody has to be in the tents. There's no such thing as being in the group and not in the tents. That means that, you know, he's not in our group. Or, you know, if you all decided now that we all divide up into tents, in a month we'll all decide that we're swapping the tents, right? And then we have to make sure that by that we won't fall, rather we will rise higher by connecting in a new tents, and maybe later we'll start changing every week. It doesn't matter for us. I mean, it's a problem here. There is, as we say, a hero in quantity and a hero in quality. We have to work both in this and that. And everybody should participate in that. Even women. Even women. I would like, starting this Shabbat, to also speak to the women about them building for themselves groups of 10, again in an incidental, random manner, without trying to set it up in any way, and those 10 should start existing and advancing as well. That is a must by now. They are undergoing such changes that make that possible. Yes.
Oh, I just want to clarify what I said. I understood previously that we should we change the tens or shouldn't we?
I'll say when. I said that already.
Okay, what happens if most of the members of my group of 10 are weak, don't fulfill the conditions, and they pull me down?
Such a person, first of all, has to fight, has to try to carry them and to turn to... You have a certain some committee, right? Turn there. And maybe other than him in this weak group of 10, there should be several others like him. Not that he will leave them. We want to strengthen them. That's the correction. The correction is by everyone becoming equal. Everybody reaching the correction. The connection. It's not that you take a few, you know, top guys and advance with them. If one of the group of 10 leaves the 10 and he succeeds somewhere, let's say, and the other 9 actually fall down, that's a corruption. We are headed towards the general correction of the whole world. Therefore, you have to see how much now you are covering a greater territory and not growing in height. By that, you succeed more. We think that we have to climb the ladder. Climbing the ladder depends on your expansion in the area, in territory. It grows as a cone. Did you ever make like a little palace from sand? So the higher you want to make it, you have to make it broader, right? Wider. So this is how what our advancement is like, if you want to advance higher. It cannot be any other way. It's the call of time. Well, yeah, keep going. Last question. Is it worthwhile for every 10 to take a project in dissemination or in the society so that they'll have a mutual occupation for the benefit of the collective? I wouldn't think that way. I also considered it earlier to give every 10 some task, a corporeal task, in addition to the spiritual one. But I don't think so. I don't think so. Because it's a problem. In the 10, you have people who shoot, you know, video, writers, people who clean, people who, you know, how are you going to do that? You will confuse the whole system. And after a month, when you swap the 10, what then? And what are they going to talk about then? That they have to perform some corporeal task? Is that what they'll talk about in the 10 minutes that they have every day?
No, that's not good. Okay, who back there wanted to... Gil, you wanted to ask something about the 10? Well, quickly. You answered that pretty much, but I wanted to just clarify. If there are two 10s, in every 10 there are two who are strong and the others are weak, should we join between the 10s? Yes, and then the 10s also have the support, but the weak ones have a home. I don't know. A 10 for us means, well, hopefully, let's say at least 5 and up to 15, even 20. A 10 is a concept, a quorum, minyan. And it might even be less if there's no choice. It happens in some places. In many places overseas. So if you join together two complete tens, I don't know, it might be too much. The thing is that many of them, as was said here, are not active. So from the 10, it turns out that only 2 or 3 are active, and the other ones you don't even hear from them. So there is the option of breaking it apart and activating the ones who are active only. But you said we have to work in breadth. And then what we said is for greater support, we can join together 2 tens, so at least some people will be active, and the other ones will work at whatever level of activity they want to. But at least the active ones will have with whom to interact. Tell me, what has a greater intensity? 2 out of 10 or 4 out of 20? Well, 2 out of 10 are stronger than 4 out of 20. Yes. Iran. What does it mean not to give up, not to let go of the weaker friends? You talked about the principle of covering greater grounds, territory. But if externally people are active, if they're not harming, yes, they're not harming, not damaging. But let's say a friend doesn't hardly come through the 10, maybe once a week, and indeed externally they're doing all the actions as much as they can, show support and warmth and invite and give inner support and concern. A lot of the time in the 10 is actually spent on elevating these friends. Is there anything else we should do? How do we even measure if it's working or not? Because that same friend might be having all kinds of limitations, and as if you don't see any advancement in terms of his participation in the 10, maybe here and there, but maybe for him it is now an effort that he added just one more time. For him it's 500%. So how do we now measure if indeed we're supporting the weaker ones in the 10? You're asking me as if I can give a clear answer to that. It is all according to inner sensation, according to our rules, which everybody is familiar with. I don't know, it's life. You know, there is no prescription for every, you know, blip. We have to see according to place, according to the situation, according to the people. So, let's say in life as well, let's say I have somebody in my family who's weaker. What does it mean that I support him? Does it mean that I hold him in the family, or that you support him, you help him, you awaken him, you're even doing things in his place? Let's say that he had a duty and he's under pressure. Show everyone that you're actually doing it in his place, but show it to everyone. Don't be a hidden righteous, so that everybody learns that it's possible to do it, and that he will know that everybody knows about it. Play, you know, act on his ego, on shame, and all kinds of things, and just do it. And out of that, it will awaken him. Yes, and I need to expect from him. Internally, I'm asking, in the end, I have to expect him to be like everyone, or is it enough if he's just a little bit more than what he is now, the way he is now? If under his circumstances he's actually growing stronger, even a little bit, that's fine, that's sufficient. But he's on the path, he agrees with the path. He's participating. He doesn't criticize. The main thing is that one is not criticizing, even if he's keeping silent. But you see that he doesn't participate with everyone. So is it because of his laziness or because he does not agree?
Well, fine, we should finish. Yes, Chaim. Behind you. We hear a lot about the tens. We've been talking about it over the last 2 months quite a bit. At what stage is it worthwhile for somebody to join this, to be a part of this? I think that each and every person, it's preferable that he'll take part in it. However, the question is, how do we activate them? If in our group, or those who are connected to us through the television, or through the virtual lines, they know how to arrange themselves into tens. Well, that's good. I would recommend every day, if possible, that we will have on the TV and on the internet a gathering of some 10 minutes, 15 minutes, yeah? Even just 10 minutes, a minute for each one. It's like a workshop, but, you know, and this would give spirit, provide spirit for the whole day. And this is how we're connected. We're connecting more. I don't know how possible it is to make, you know, to actually do that. You know, you need to get people and do it. And also, we have to make a little program for this, make a plan so that it will really awaken everybody more, etc. What else? That's it? Yeah? Because also, when we teach in the college, there, even the students of the first semester or the second semester have heard about it. Some of the students there also are in groups, and the rumor is in the air there. So, should a student from the first or second semester, can he join such a thing? I'll tell you. We need to see what does it mean, a 10. So, even people who don't belong to the wisdom of Kabbalah, rather only integral education, it's also possible to make some sort of 10 out of them. This is something that is not harmful. All in all, we're talking about connection between people. It seems to me that how can you divide up those groups? The veterans that are over 5 years, or those that are over 1 year, and those that are brand new? How can you make such a division? Because a group, when it sits and studies, everybody feels themselves pretty much equal, even though they are veterans or people who just joined. Even if a new person came a week ago and you tell him, nah, that's not for you yet. If by that you want to evoke him, provoke him, and increase his deficiency, that's one thing. But if you actually turn him off by that, that's not good. So it's not a question. We have to accept everyone, but make sure we diversify. In that, we really have to diversify. If everybody is veterans with no need for diversification, if they're this way, that way, more lazy or not, that doesn't matter. But if it's new ones versus veterans, mix it up so that the new ones won't be by themselves, rather they'll be among the veterans, and then we'll be able to learn from their actions. And finally, we're moving on to the next part.